Welcome back to the Weekly News Roundup. These are recorded live Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to catch the show live, have a look at the comments, etc. Of course, today we are moving through a little bit quicker than usual. We have a hard deadline on the show, mostly because it is running low in power in here, and I'm trying to conserve that as much as possible. So let's go ahead and have a look at our main titles today. We'll be doing the standard lineup, privacy, security, data leaks, AI, business, and some Sillyville. We did keep it to a couple articles in each section, but still we have a lot to get through. Let's go ahead and get through it and try not to get super sidetracked. The first up is the Allstate lawsuit out of Texas. In fact, I am already... Allstate is one of those companies that is on my never-do-business list with. So, of course, as you follow my channel long enough, you know HP is on that list and Allstate is on that list, and I don't think anybody else is. You really have to piss me off to the point where you are on my do not do business with list. I'll save my story for another time for brevity, but this one here, Ken Paxton in Texas has a big problem with them because Allstate founded a company called Arity in 2016, and Arity is a data analytics company that produces a lot of SDKs that says, hey, use our SDK in your mobile app. And there's some allegations that they have paid people to use it, although we have not seen evidence of that quite yet. But what happens here is all of these app companies that are, you know, pushing out all these apps are installing the SDK, and then this is giving the data analytics company, in this case already owned by Allstate, all of the data. Now, the app itself may not collect data itself, so it doesn't report how much data is being collected, but they don't really know, the developers of these things don't generally know how all of the SDKs work. They just know, we make money if we put this in, we don't make money if we don't, so we may as well put this in. And so they're getting money for all of these data connections. And this is how a very, very free app like GasBuddy that you see promoted on multi-million subscriber channels as download this app for free and save money on gas. Well, why do you think it's free, genius? How can this guy afford to pay some guy thousands and thousands of dollars to tell you to download a free app, genius? Because GasBuddy is designed to show you the cheapest gases in your region. Dude, I live full-time in a van. I drive around the country. I'm not in your town any longer than a day or two, and I can tell you the cheapest gases. I don't have any of that nonsense, okay? Really? First, a few brands. Second, it's one of the few uses of Google Maps. Of course, I don't ever use it logged in. You use it air-gapped, but you look at a region, you type gas stations, and you get a list with the prices next to it. Genius! But no, these people are lazy, and they download the GasBuddy app, and they turn on location tracking because the app's got to know where you are. And turning on the location tracking and access to all the sensors, GasBuddy now collects all of that data and hands it back to your insurance company. You see, 10 years ago, they wanted to put little GPS boxes inside of all of your cars to collect all of this data about you. And a lot of people looked at that and said, hell no. So they just put it on your smartphone instead. And it collects more data than that little black box collected. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, these guys know what they're doing. So GasBuddy, Rootly, and Life360 were three of the apps that were using the Arity SDK. And effectively, this is why everybody's insurance goes up, because now everybody's getting tracked. And now the insurance company's like, wow, the whole world's bad drivers. Let's go ahead and jack everyone up. So there were cases of some of these apps were picking up when you were on a roller coaster and reporting back to the car insurance company how bad of a driver you were, because you were doing like, you know, 90 degree turns. And man, this guy put his car upside down. So, but that's what was going on with that particular news there. They are being sued. This is out of Texas with Ken Paxton. And this is a good reason to uninstall these apps now. Guys, stop using apps in your phone by and large. You should, in fact, consider maybe dropping your phone altogether. So this person had a guide. You don't need a smartphone, the practical personal guide to downgrading your device. Now, I did find that this person lacked a few brain cells. A plus for the effort, B plus for figuring out how to do this, F minus for coming up with the best solutions. We'll explain why in a minute. So here's the problem. Way back a long time ago, we had all these separate devices, but now, as this depiction here shows, we take phone calls, we do our music, we type things, we take pictures, we watch video, we use calculators, we have flashlights, we keep our wallet in there, although I don't know why, we can do an audio tape recorder, we have maps, we can play games, we have a calendar, I'm not sure, oh, I guess that's email, I guess, and then we have compasses. So this one little device has done everything. It's wonderfully revolutionary, but it's horribly addictive. Now, I'm a person, I can at times not touch my phone all day. I am not a person that picks up my phone a lot. I literally use it for communication and sorting news articles. That is it. I actually hate phones. So I don't have this big allure even to use half of this stuff on there, but there's applications that I find useful. So I'll do that. However, some people just do not want the smartphone. They find it's too distracting. They find it's too addictive. I have a friend of mine. He wants nothing to do with any computerized systems. So what he has done is he has gotten rid of everything except one desktop computer that he uses for all those things that just need that. And then he's gone back to a pure dumb phone. And then he has implemented into place some of these things I'm going to talk about. So this person, though, talked about the same issue. Their 20s, gets a smartphone, gets addicted to social media, become isolated and addicted to social media, and those two states perpetuated each other. Before you know it, he's sitting in the corner just doom scrolling and becoming like a Facebook zombie or something. And so now she's like, okay, there was just too many issues going on, and so she wanted to drop it. So now she addresses how do you do a lot of things. And this is where this first one is okay. She's missing something, but it's okay. Okay, how do you do two-factor authentication? Security keys. YubiKeys, other security keys like that are the absolute best. You should be doing those even if you have a smart key. Everything that takes a hardware key that is the absolute best way to secure your account with MFA, you should be using those. Get two of them. Set both of them up on the account. In the case you lose one, you still have the other. You can do the SMS verification. They do properly illustrate here that this is a dangerous method, but it does work. Some dumb phones have a browser function that supports dual factor authentication. That would be a weird niche. And then use a backup phone, which seems to defeat the purpose. Option 5, KeePass XC manages 2FA. Okay. You can manage all of that 2FA in KeePass XC. Now, some people say, well, that violates 2FA, something you have and something you know. No, it doesn't. It does not. Don't buy into that stupid argument. Okay, you have a KeePass XC file is deeply encrypted on your hard drive. That's something you have. And you need your password to get into it. Something you know. And of course, you would have to know where and how those are set up. And you'd have to have access to that one single file as well. Or you could have that file in a couple of things. How can you stay in touch with friends, family, or coworkers? Tell them to get off your phone. Okay, we're not going to talk about that one any. How are you supposed to navigate without this? Okay, this is where she plumbs depths of stupidity that I can't understand. Okay, this is her thing. You may not have realized some dumb phones feature a Maps app. Really? That's your solution? A little tiny app map that's this big? Pardon me, officer, I'm looking for my turn. There's these things called car GPSs. They're like $100. They're really good. And everybody, I mean everybody, should be using those, not your phones. It's designed for that. It's big enough to easily see. It has a UI designed for it. And a lot of the modern ones, they can even do all of these modern things that you're looking for your GPS system to do. Get a car GPS. All right. What about listening to music and podcasts? Oh, you know what? I should have brought my car GPS up, but I didn't. But MP3, oh, look at this. Whoa, it's an MP3 player. Holy hell, this thing costs $30. Works great. In fact, I have two of them up here because I have two of them for two different purposes. Yeah, you can do MP3s. Now, you might look at the end and go, well, now I have to carry around all these extra devices. Yes, but you definitely curb your addictions. What about taking photos? Of course, this person has a film camera. You carry a film camera? You know, digital cameras are really small these days. You could get digital cameras that take 4K video that can fit on your keychain. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, It is worth considering dumping your smartphone. You can get away without it. A lot of it's reverting back to some of the old technologies, and that's, to be honest, a fine thing. Go ahead and do that. If you are finding yourself too addicted to the phone, you probably should consider doing that. All right, let's move on over to the security section next. We're moving a little bit too slow here, so hopefully we can get through these pretty quickly. This is a great one. You've seen the malvertising scams where the advertiser advertises some scam, and then they are, it gets you to download a malicious version of Etcher, for example, right? Malvertising. How's this one for funny? Malvertising your Google login using Google Ads. Yes, this could have qualified for Sillyville. We were debating it. So this is a malvertising where the guy buys ads to sign in to Google Ads that takes you to a Google site. In other words, this is sites.google.com, which is set up by the malicious actor to mimic the login page for Google. And since it's all cute SSL, it even has google.com in it. You sign in, and now they have just compromised your Google account. This is what's wrong with advertising. You see, and Google's like, we need to do everything as possible to get rid of your using your ad blockers. Dude, Google, you are selling ads to scammers, which are purporting to be a login for your own ad network. And so as they are compromised and they're giving them up, of course, here is the two side by side. This is the fake ad. You'll see it says ads.google.com. Everything is here. And this is where Google's biggest problem is with their ad system. It's because this information up here at the top, you can't see my mouse. I'm sorry. I thought I had my mouse cursors on. Where it says ads.google.com and https://ads.google.com, those two lines are filled in by the person writing the ad. Those are not auto-generated from the place you're linking them to. You would have to hover over this and see where the URL goes. It does not have to go to here. Now, the bottom one is the legitimate ad. Everything's reporting the same. Scammers are actually stealing legitimate ad company accounts by taking malvertising campaigns against Google's own service and creating a fake login page to phish them. That's right, folks. According to Google, though, you should not run an ad blocker. Okay? This one's a neat one here. I want to include this one. This is a novel PayPal phishing campaign that hijacks your account. This funny thing is this is built in such a way that it actually comes from PayPal, so it passes all those malicious checks. So if you've ever ordered something or maybe somebody sent you a payment link, you might be familiar with this. You click the button, you open it up, and then you can come in here and you can log into PayPal or you can pay as a guest. But what this is a malicious account on, guess what? Microsoft's domains now, where you can use a Microsoft sites domain for free for 90 days while you're testing and developing your app. So what they're doing is they are creating these accounts and then sending you payment options that look legitimate and they actually come from PayPal. And they're actually hosted on Microsoft, so it passes all of those malware stuff. And if you log into this, if you didn't notice this spot right under the payment, this is not a payment link. This is an account linking link. It just says all this stuff at the top. So when you enter your PayPal details and log into PayPal, you have just given the scammers access to your PayPal account. And now they can do with it what you want. Very interesting, novel account there. That's definitely terrifying. And now we're going to move on over to data leaks. A couple data leaks here. The first is, well, if you like your wacky tobacky, You might have had your data leaked. Now, this carries with it some interesting stuff because, of course, Florida just passed its pH ban. Several other states has as well. And now I'm starting to see a lot of content creators dance around the VPN thing, now suggesting you should get a VPN to go and play with some sausage or something, right? And so I've heard other people, like Some Ordinary Gamers was one of them that said this. You know, there's a difference between going into a store and showing your ID to buy beer and going onto a dirty website online and showing your ID online. And I actually commented in his video and said, no, this is not correct anymore. Highlighting a few years ago, there were a couple companies that were out there for clubbing. So you go around clubbing and, of course, you got to show your ID to get in. You got to be 21 to be in these clubs. Well, instead of just having the bouncer at the door who picks up your ID and looks at it and verifies it's real, now there is a clubbing database where they just go in and be like, oh, this is super simple. It's faster for your bouncers. They just scan the ID here. And if this guy happens to get into a bar fight here and then he leaves and he tries to come into your club and he scans his ID, the bouncer's going to see this is a guy that's regularly involved in bar fights, so you can restrict his access. They're creating an online database. You see, even if you go into a lot of stores now and you want to buy cough medicine, they're like, can you see your ID? Okay, and they beep it and scan it through the register. They're collecting the data and sending it online. It is no longer true. Now, if you want to go and buy yourself a couple of brewskis, make sure you're going to a place that still just takes the ID, looks at it, verifies it, and hands it back. If you ever go into someplace and they want to scan your ID in, walk out. I was so happy because Sheetz in Pennsylvania was leading the edge on getting beer into all the gas stations and things. And so I go into Sheetz one night and there's a guy right ahead of me. He's trying to buy a 12-pack of beer and he's like, you got your ID? He's like, yeah, I got my ID right here. Well, who needs to see it? He says, I'm not letting you scan this. If you want to look at it and verify I'm 21, go ahead and do that. If you need to scan this, I'm not buying my beer here. And they're like, well, we have to scan it in your system. He's like, well, have your beer then. I'm going to go somewhere else. I was like, hey, there's people in this world. I want to high five that dude, man. But that's the thing is if we go in and they're scanning your IDs, those IDs are going somewhere and it's not staying on some local thing. It's not just beeping the register. Okay. No, they're collecting all that data. They're collecting it all. And that's what the Wacky Tobacco store found. While this Wacky Tobacco store does have an online presence, mostly they just sell merch and I don't know, maybe brownies or something, I don't know. But if you want to go in and actually buy your Wacky Tobacco itself, you got to go to a physical location. Four of their physical locations, and these are in California, you walk in and they beep your ID into the system. And then some third party collects all the data. Well, guess what? That third party was breached. And everybody that bought Wacky Tobacco at that particular local store walked in, showed their ID at the local store. Their data is now completely compromised and now on in the hands of hackers. And they compromised. They said name, address, date of birth, age, driver's license number, passport number, photograph, signatures appearing on the government ID card, medical cannabis cards, transaction histories, and other personal information. Walking into a store. We need to have strict laws. Now, we just can't be collecting all this data. Why am I going into your local store, showing my ID, which I should do, and then you scan it and hand it in some unsecure database on some third party I don't even know exists. And that's what happened with this particular one here. But it gets worse. Talk about lessons in data security. PowerSchool. How many of you or your children use PowerSchool? They lost everything. Everything. Old kids, it's all gone. It was all taken. Every record of every school, every child, every teacher, stolen by hackers. Because for some reason, PowerSchool seems to think that they should keep this ongoing database on the internet of everybody that's ever used their system. Yeah. Late December, unidentified threat actor used stolen credentials to access PowerSchool student information systems. From there, they were able to use the Export Data Manager custom support tool to exfiltrate student and teacher databases. It was then stolen. Information grabbed. This attack includes names, postal addresses. In some districts, the threat actors obtained social security numbers, personally identifiable information, medical information, and grades. They didn't have any ransomware going on, but according to all the reports, everything. Everything that schools were punching into the PowerSchool system was compromised on every school that had ever used it. If a school was using PowerSchool and then stopped using PowerSchool, that data was taken too. If a kid had graduated 5 years ago, that data was taken too. Welcome to the largest data theft ring ever happened. And guess what they're going to do with all this kind of stuff? Well, you know, those FinCEN BOI reports that's going to be forced on everybody. Hopefully that gets overturned by the current administration. Yep. All those guys, they're going to enter your data. So then your door is going to get kicked in by the feds because they think you're the one laundering all that money. Oh, it's so crazy, isn't it? Isn't it so crazy? Well, this is where the dark world gets us. And if you want to hear more about dark world and where it can get us, we do have our Code Red book. This is the first collection of short stories we did. 10 short stories on the dark side of technology. All of these companies out here are giving us all of these good, amazing benefits of technology. They never tell us about the evils that can be used for, which in many cases are used for. Every story in this book is used somewhere around the world to abuse people with technology and data that they collect with it. Code Red is a cautionary tale about the dangers of technology. Not saying you should never use it. I'm saying we should know the risks. tlm.li/code red. More information on the book. You can pick it up anywhere. You can buy books online, available in softcover, ebook, and audiobook formats. And with that, we are going to jump on over to AI news next. First up in AI news, Apple is urged to withdraw out-of-control news alerts. So Apple, of course, rolled out these AI news headlines, and it was doing news headlines from the BBC, and nobody really paid any attention except the BBC, and they're looking at us going, these are not right. And BBC reaches out to Apple and says, hey, your AI headlines are completely wrong. Like, they were actually doing misinformation, not like a government official says misinformation. No, they were actually giving misinformation, or maybe just false information. So breaking the CEO bang bang subject, fights outside, and then he decides to engage in RMRFing himself. Didn't happen. None of that. No, that's true. And so BBC reaches out and it's like, hey, Apple, these are kind of wrong. And then they kept on coming out with really ridiculous things. Ultimately, Apple did pull the AI summarized headlines, but that raises a concern about AI, that AI is often wrong. More often than not, AI is wrong. But since people asking information are seeking information, they're asking the information because they don't know if it's right or wrong. And so people are accepting the AI, it's getting adopted into things, it's getting incorporated into things, and it's adding to itself to the quote-unquote truth of society, and this is why AI is going to come up with six fingers soon. It's feeding on itself, and before you know it, you'll have the genetic diversity of a West Virginian twin. All right? It's a joke, guys. It's a joke. Calm down. All right. But anyway, what happens here is BBC was watching BBC's summary headlines and saying these are all wrong. And Apple's like, yeah, these are all wrong. This is happening everywhere with AI. It's just that most people aren't looking for what's wrong. And that's going to lead to a lot of problems. But you know who doesn't care if they're wrong is malicious actors. So inexperienced malicious threat actors developed the FunkSec ransomware using AI tools. They didn't know much about programming. They didn't know much about coding, but they knew how to talk to ChatGPT and other ones. I'm not throwing ChatGPT under the bus here. Just a colloquial for all other AI platforms. According to the research, they didn't have a lot of experience in coding, but they were still able to pull off some pretty good ransom as a service thing. things. Now, this isn't, and this is the frightening part, this is an activist group, more of a hacktivist group. So this is a hacktivist group of people that are mad at some organization, and so they use AI to develop malicious tools against that individual company. They say in the article here, blending hacktivism and cybercrime. Now, the only thing, the only silver lining of this is that researchers said many of the data sets leaked by this group appeared to have been recycled, meaning that they may not have actually breached as many systems as they said. They might have breached maybe a few systems and then bought a bunch of data to bolster what looked like their claim was. But regardless, it does seem these people did not have a lot of coding experience, but were able to develop ransomware software utilizing AI tools, indicating that, yeah, AI is not good enough to use in courts or even news headlines, but it's just good enough to move you past the threshold of believability in your phishing scam and in your malware. And so AI has been a godsend for all of the malicious hackers in the world, but it's still not good enough to be used in polite society. And that is the recipe for a really, really bad thing. And with that, we're going to move on over to business news next. And first up, we have an update to Bench. We brought you Bench information, was it last week or the week before? Of course, Bench was a company. They were basically an accounting company. You outsource to us, handle all of the worry about your books, give it all to us. And then their VC funding fell through. They abruptly closed with no warning to anybody, and everybody's data was caught up in there. Well, don't worry, employee.com came by and be like, we will save the day. And employee.com said, yep, we will either give you your data or extend your service. Well, employee.com's like, wait, we have a lot of power at our fingertips right now. So you'd like your data, eh? So basically now, if you wanted the data, you had to agree to their privacy policies, their terms of service, and them having access to your data to do with it what they want, if you want your data. Or they'll just delete your data. Or you could buy more money. But if you prepaid for your Bench account, like one company paid for 2 years in advance of the Bench account, and then Bench closes down, and then employee.com says, so you want your data, eh? And now they're like, what do you do? So they end up, I think they ended up getting their data after fighting with them, getting their data without giving it up. But then they said, well, we're not giving you any refund. So appropriately, the company went to their credit card company, said, hey, this is what happened. The credit card company looks and says, yeah, you're getting your money back. And so the credit card company reversed it, and employee.com had to eat that one. So that's the thing. If you are caught up in Bench, get your data, and if they will not refund you the difference, exactly what Lewis Rossman says to do. Go in, dispute it with your credit card company, and when 3,700 credit card companies all get the same dispute from the same thing, guess what? Employer.com may not be able to use credit cards anymore. Well, how will that handle your business? You see, there's power in all of us going back to the source and cutting them off of the payment system. If they want to abuse you in that way, you go through that bank, because if the bank, it's the same thing as a PayPal account. If everybody flags this one PayPal account as malicious, PayPal shuts the account down. If 5,000 people all contact the credit card companies and they have to reverse 5,000 transactions for a company that's abusing your data and changing the terms after you've already paid for it, the credit card companies are going to go, I think we're going to turn you off for a while. And now how is employee.com going to make money, or employer.com going to make money? And this just raises another concern, guys. Don't be using these software as a service crap companies. Don't use them. GNU Cash, folks. They could have saved themselves a lot of money and a lot of time by GNU Cash. If you don't know how to run yourself, hire a bookkeeper at $30 an hour. All right, now on to the newer news. Oh, actually, this is kind of an update as well. We talked about this before. Of course, Broadcom purchased VMware, and like every big company does when they purchase some big conglomerate, first thing they do, let's raise prices, everybody. So Anexia is a European cloud software company. They manage they just manage a whole host of cloud servers. You can kind of think of maybe like a Linode type thing in the EU. Well, they have like 12,000 VMs, and Broadcom comes and says, "Hey, you'd still like to use your servers, eh?" 500% increase in costs in a 1 year period of time. And they had to pay it all up front, whereas under VMware, it was like Linode, like DigitalOcean. You know, you cause some server use, you pay for it at the end of the month. No big deal. Awesome. If I want to, I can go into those services. I can prepay a bunch of money into the account. It'll just deduct it from the balance due. No big problem. No, Broadcom's like, nah, we really want you to pay for everything all up front. So, of course, if you have to close your service, we won't give you anything back because you know, that's how scummy this company is. And so, they looked at this, said, nah, bro. And they wrote a script, migrated all their companies over to open source software based on the KVM platform, and moved over. And according to the CEO over there at EuroCloud, at Anexia, they have talked to numerous people that are all moving away from VMware. So way to go, Broadcom. You bought amazing software and ran into the ground because of your stupid corporate greed. Congratulations. Of course, enough people will be around. You know, if like one in five continues to pay the 500% increase, of course, the company now makes the same amount of money with a third of the capacity for problems and issues. So I don't know. Maybe they'll still make money. This is why everybody using VMware, abandon ship. Abandon ship. Tell them no. I sign up under the old deal, not under the new deal. And of course, how's this for fun? Apparently, one in five posts on Greenhouse are ghost jobs. They don't really exist. So why are all these companies making fake listings? Well, there's a couple reasons people have suggested to this. One of those reasons was that you got to keep the good looks up with the economy. If the economy is growing and we have millions of open jobs, like the senile individual that's stepping out of the White House next week on Monday, keep saying, then they have to show the sign of having so many more jobs. But they don't have that many more jobs, you see. The other reason they said they do it is some of them did it just to bolster their numbers, to make it look like the company's growing when in fact they aren't growing. So, you know, some good old-fashioned cooking the booking so that people think that there are a lot more problems. Look at this company. They've got all these open jobs. Nah, they're just ghost postings. The other reason they said, hey, we throw these out in case of the one unicorn applicant that is so amazingly good, we just want to hire him anyway. There's a reason. And then another reason they said is, hey, what about the fact that if we always have these job openings, it lets the employees know you're replaceable. No more quiet quitting around here. And so there's all of these scummy ways that they're doing it. But the fact of the matter is, one in five jobs. And honestly, from one of the things, some of the things that I've seen around online, that's actually a low number. Like some people say up to 80% of jobs on job marketing boards are fake. This is crazy. It is nuts what's going on with some of these things. That was an interesting one. And of course, our last one here in business is don't get micro-shafted, folks. Office 365 plan, they are now cramming Copilot even in this now. So you're trying to get away from Copilot. Oh, no. Copilot is coming for you. So everybody on Microsoft Office 365, the great news is you're getting Copilot. The bad news is they're raising your price $3 a month. Now, to the fairness of Microsoft, they have not raised their price at all for the personal accounts. I think the business accounts have gone up, but the personal accounts have not. So this does represent the first price change, but they are doing it. They're doing it to say, hey, it's $10 a month now, but don't worry, guys. You now have Copilot AI. No, Copilot AI is in the terms of this. Let me tell you what this is, folks. This is the digital version of Clippy. He's back from the grave running Skynet. how can I help you today? And so you are going to be paying $3 a month more per month, $3 more per month, or another $30 per year to keep it. Now, if you are using Office 365, they say for a limited time, you can go to the classic one, keep your old price, and not have Copilot. But that's a sad scenario. We're not going to let you do that for long. It's a limited time. But for a limited time, you can get the Copilot free version for the original price. So there you go, guys. You're going to get micro shafted there by this. Of course, just use LibreOffice. Have a look at my video from Writing Done Right going out here tomorrow. Well, tomorrow, tomorrow. So it should be out by the time you watch this, if you're not watching this Friday night anyway. And introduction to LibreOffice. All right, with that, guys, we're going to jump on over to your favorite place and mine. Let's have a look at Sillyville. This guy's is just, this Sillyville's like, we had to throw some of these articles out because they were just like, yeah. Things going on in UK. Anyway, they finally did it. They got Doom to run in a PDF file. So now you have a PDF file and you can play Doom in there, I guess. There you have it, folks. I gotta download a copy of that. Can I grab that? I think it looks like I probably can. All right. I got to go and remember to grab that Doom PDF. But now they've got it everywhere. So let me know in the comments, engagement time here. What is the favorite thing you've seen Doom play on? Mine still is probably the pregnancy test because am I pregnant, honey? I don't know. I just killed 5 monsters. That's what I would do. Of course, I had to include this one because I am in Florida right now and Florida woman is a thing. Florida woman is arrested after accidentally texting the cop instead of the drug dealer. She's got to have some good stuff. She types in the wrong contact and ends up texting the person on the drug enforcement squad that she's looking for some stuff. So the officer was very obliged to show up and meet with her. He didn't have anything. Now, so what happened here is she had a previous interaction with a police officer. It didn't specify here. Was this being a CI of some form, or was this a parole officer of some form, or was this, just some other interaction she had. And just so she could keep track, she threw him in the phone as PJ. Problem is PJ were also the initials of the drug dealer. And so she hit the wrong one when asking for some happy supplies. Obviously, they showed up, they arrested her with a whole bunch of paraphernalia. No drugs, of course, because that's what she was calling for. But anyway, we got another dumb criminal off the street in Florida there because she texted the drug enforcement agency instead of the dealer for some good stuff. Well, a French woman gets scammed out of $855,000 by AI Brad Pitt. You see, first she was duped by fake AI Brad Pitt, and then real Brad Pitt came in and thanked her. Yeah, this is the good cop, bad cop routine, or maybe you call it, it's a common two-way con that's used. You know, you get somebody in person, you do it where you have the good guy, you have the bad guy. The bad guy comes in like, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to rob you. And then good guy comes in, get out of here, man, boy, pizza him up. And then instantly gains the confidence of the person. Oh, can I walk you home? Are you okay? And before she knows it, she walks up there and her wallet's gone and her phone is gone. Her keys are gone. Everything's gone because the guy's a pickpocket. But she had her defenses down because he saved the day. Obviously, he wouldn't do her any harm. Well, same kind of thing. This is the digital version of that, right? So the fake Brad Pitt comes in and she was like, I don't know about this. And then the real Brad Pitt comes in to save her. And the real Brad Pitt happens to be the second fake Brad Pitt. And so she ended up giving Brad Pitt a bunch of money because apparently the famous actor needed a lot of money or something. Oh, this is so sad. This is so sad. He's in the hospital. He needs a medical procedure. He can't afford it. Go act in another movie, sir. And on to our last one. The EU data laws are getting so bad. Of course, we might make fun of them. You know, they're going after Facebook this week. That's because they just need some more money. Oh, Twitter's up next this week. They need some more money. Let's go after Microsoft. We need a little bit more money. Well, the EU law is so complicated, the EU cannot even keep it. So the EU fines the EU for breaking the EU data security law. often fines large organizations for non-compliance. Then we can add another dastardly organization, the EU itself. The EU court ruled that the EU failed to adhere to its own data privacy laws regarding the data of a German citizen. Individual used the sign in with Facebook option in the EU login webpage to register for a conference. The court, which listens to the case brought against the EU institutions, determined that transferring the user's IP address from Meta platforms in the US breached the EU data protection rules. So you might be inclined to believe the fine was equivalent to EU's financial resources, you know. However, the EU fined itself only $400. So there you go. It's so complicated. The EU caught the EU breaking EU data lines, and the EU investigated itself and decided that they wanted to pay $400 under the table to the EU. I don't know. Tell us to follow the law. Whatever. Well, if you want to help support the channel, we do have a locals page. And I forgot to boot up my local screen. There it is. SwitchLinux.locals.com. Our short story for the month is up there. The link is available until February 15th for the audiobook download, if you want to grab it on over there. So if you are on Locals, you can do that. If you're not on Locals, you can sign up, of course, for free. You can read the first chapter of that article there and see if you like. If you really like it, leave me a tip over there. With that, guys, thank you for watching, and I hope that you enjoy switching to Linux.